From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. President Obama is soliciting ideas today on how to encourage businesses to hire more workers in the face of stubbornly high unemployment rates. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Dozens of business people, labor leaders, and economists are joining President Obama in a White House jobs forum this afternoon. They're talking about ways to spur job creation in areas like renewable energy and rebuilding the nation's infrastructure. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says the government by itself can't make up for millions of jobs that have been lost, but it can try to improve the environment so more private companies start hiring.
Americans are rightly concerned about jobs, as is the president, and we want to ensure that if there are good ideas out there, that we're pursuing them.
The jobs forum comes on the eve of another unemployment report that's expected to show tens of thousands of additional jobs disappeared during the month of November. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Congress will make use of untapped funds from the Wall Street bailout to create jobs connected to infrastructure projects. Pelosi says the money could also go toward helping troubled state and local governments trying to retain much-needed firefighters, police officers, and teachers. She's also vowed to help small businesses with the leftover bailout money. The Senate has cast its first votes on the pending health overhaul bill, adding language to broaden coverage of preventive health services for women. NPR's Julie Rovner has more.
The amendment by Maryland Democrat Barbara Mikulski passed 61-39, with three Republicans voting for it and one Democrat, Wisconsin's Russ Feingold, voting no. The proposal would expand the list of disease screenings and other preventive services in the bill women would be able to get without copayments or deductibles. To accomplish that, it would also effectively circumvent recent recommendations of the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force on Mammography. It would ensure those recommendations for less frequent use of the procedure not be used to deny or delay coverage by the government or health insurers. The Senate defeated an even broader amendment offered by Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski. It would have required the government to ignore any recommendations of the task force in deciding which services to cover. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
The country's biggest cable TV operator is poised to take control of NBC Universal. News of the agreement sent shares of Comcast higher on the New York Stock Exchange today. Comcast plans to buy a majority stake in the company for nearly $14 billion. Comcast already serves a quarter of all American households that pay for television. Under the deal, Comcast would gain control of NBC, the Spanish-language Telemundo, and other lucrative cable channels, along with a major movie studio. That's raised concerns that Comcast would control too much of the entertainment industry. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 10 points to 10,463, the Nasdaq up 9. This is NPR. Iraq says a suicide bomber killed five people in Tikrit today, and that's the hometown of former dictator Saddam Hussein. Iraqi police say the dead include a police commander and two bodyguards. The bomb was aimed at the head of an anti-terrorism unit in the area that had been controlled by Sunni insurgents. Canadian parliamentarians are hearing about warnings against torture of Afghan detainees, warnings that came from the International Red Cross. Dan Karpinchuk has the story.
Uncensored memos examined by the Canadian Press News Agency show details of face-to-face meetings between Canadian and Red Cross officials in Kandahar in 2006. At the time, the International Relief Agency delivered veiled but persistent warnings about torture in Afghan jails. That came at least a year before Canada acted to protect detainees. It's the latest twist over allegations by a former diplomat who said Canadian government and military officials ignored the torture of detainees handed over to Afghan authorities by Canadian soldiers. Ottawa insists the allegations are vague and come from a lone voice. The latest revelations undermine Ottawa's contention. At least one Canadian law expert says the Red Cross's veiled warnings are clear diplomatic code for torture, and Canadian officials had a duty under international law to launch an investigation into conditions at Afghan prisons. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Environment ministers and officials from around the world are preparing for the United Nations Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen beginning December 7th. Most leaders are expected to come for the final 2 days of the conference when the meetings for heads of state and government are scheduled. But a top U.S. official says some may plan to attend on December 9th when President Obama will be there. Afterward, the president will head to Oslo to pick up his Nobel Peace Prize. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.